Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Once again, the sound of rock cracking, and you've got Doc Holliday right here on Rock Splitting Politics, and you're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's www.webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Ed Holliday, and we're glad to have everybody here. I know we got some new listeners because people told me they're going to write in, and they emailed me saying they're going to listen to the show now. So welcome, new listeners, and tell your friends and neighbors because we're growing. We're making an impact on our nation with the guests we have and with the insights we have. Conservative politics is something this country needs. It needs it in a very, very bad way for people to stand up and tell the truth. That's what we do right here. You hear things on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics you won't hear anywhere else. And today's show, we're talking about the State of the Union. We'll have some clips from President Barack Obama, and we'll make a few comments. And also, we'll have some clips from Marco Rubio. Wait a minute. I got to get a drink here. Okay, excuse me. I say Marco Rubio, and it just makes me thirsty. I wonder why. Anybody could see that clip last week. Well, one thing, I'm not making fun of Marco Rubio as a leader. He is a true leader, maybe not totally ready for prime time, but we got a few years to go for 2016. Who knows? He could be the Republican nominee, but he's out there, and he's in the game, and that's where you get battle-tested and experience. And right here, Doc Holliday's rock-splitting politics, I can tell you, but we've learned many things. One thing I've learned, I'm passing on to you, is we're not going to give up. This country depends on people who understand what's at stake. And you're one of those because you're listening. I'm one of those because we're putting the show on. And not only Barack Obama, his State of the Union Nirvana speech, whatever you want to call it, went out once again, the same one he's been, I don't know, speech writers, they might as well just go. Yeah, hope he doesn't spend any money because of the same speech he's been given since 2008, isn't it? But let's go on, and after the Republican response from Marco Rubio, we will get to Rand Paul and the Tea Party response. And I think he had more solutions than anybody. So we're going to hear a lot from him. Before we get to that, I'm going to update you on some of the things Doc Holliday is doing and some of the things that I hope you're out there doing. And before we do that, I want to say one more thing about this show is the reason we're growing is because of you, our listeners, and I enjoy your feedback. Continue. You can email me right there on the homepage. You can buy my book, Rock Splitting Politics, right there on the homepage. Many of you are listening to us for the first time, and we appreciate that. We hope you just you'll lock us in on a computer, and every week hear a new show when you're checking your email, or you can always have it ready to go and see the news that you need to know to get this country back up and going. So pull up a seat and listen to the show where we're going to take you some places you may never heard of before. Before we get to the end of the show, we will get to the Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award. For those who don't know what that is, it's an award we give out each week for a saying, the words, or actions of someone. Someone's going to get the Tombstone of the Week Award, and that's for something said, done, that should be buried 6 feet beneath the ground. Beneath a tombstone. Wow, we have got a great show. So let's get jumping right in here. And one of the things I want to say before we get to the clips by President Obama is I'm going to be heading to D.C., Washington, D.C., and see who I can meet with. Some other conservatives will be heading out that way. And we'll talk with some of the people from Freedom Works. So I want you to be on your toes, and I'll give you some feedback after that meeting at the end of this week. Also going to tell you about the message Doc Holliday's getting out, the book, Rock Splitting Politics. We were on American Family Radio last week with a segment, and that's on YouTube. I got a clip. You can go on the homepage of this show. You can go and see that clip and go to the YouTube clip, and that was out over 35 states. So if you're one of the new listeners coming from those 35 states that American Family Radio goes to, thank you for tuning in to Rock Splitting Politics, because you'll find out, you'll hear things here that you won't hear anywhere else. We're going to give you some news that you can only get here. Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
Our work must begin by making some basic decisions about our budget, decisions that will have a huge impact on the strength of our recovery.
That's right. This is the part I can agree with the President. So let's keep rolling the tape, and then we'll find out where this man is really, really just blowing smoke, folks. He's blowing smoke and not doing anything that's going to help this country by speaking like this. So let him continue, and we'll see where he's tracking in mud all over the Constitution.
Over the last few years, both parties have worked together to reduce the deficit by more than $2.5 trillion.
Whoa, stop it right there. Reducing the deficit. Oh, man, we're not even close to reducing a debt. It's saying over $2 trillion. It hasn't been done yet. It's a theory. We haven't reduced anything. And this is the trickery that not only Barack Obama, but the whole Congress is telling us. We're not reducing the debt. We're reducing an increase. And Rand Paul is going to talk about that later. We'll play Rand Paul's talk. Let's let the President continue.
Mostly through spending cuts, but also by raising tax rates on the wealthiest 1% of Americans. As a result, we are more than halfway towards the goal of $4 trillion in deficit reduction that economists say we need to stabilize our finances.
Now, what economist might that be, Mr. President? Is that your liberal friend, the economist? Need $4 trillion in reduction? Try, we need $9 trillion, $10 trillion. Over a 10-year period, you're talking about pennies. Listen, this president is just blowing smoke and mirrors across the country. Okay, we got to let him have a say, so let's go.
Now we need to finish the job. And the question is, how?
What difference at this point does it make?
Hey, how did Hillary get in there? But she's right. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, you're finally right. Yes. What difference at this point does it make? How do we go? We're not even cutting the deficit. We're doing no cutting. We're reducing the increases. Come on, Mr. President. Stop the smoke and mirrors, but continue on. Thank you, Hillary Clinton, for your comments.
In 2011, Congress passed a law saying that if both parties couldn't agree on a plan to reach our deficit goal, about $1 trillion worth of budget cuts would automatically go into effect this year.
Mr. President, this is where you're treading mud on the Constitution. Congress might have made a law, but it did not become a law without your signature, Barack Obama. You signed it. You made it a law. Don't blame it on Congress. Stop the smoke and mirrors and trying to confuse the American people. Only the low information voters, it's over their head. You're blowing smoke in their eyes, but we understand and see the truth. But continue on.
These sudden, harsh.
Oh, well, Mr. President, how many times did you practice sudden, harsh, harsh, harsh? Oh, it's so harsh, harsh. You signed it in the law, but continue on.
Arbitrary cuts would jeopardize our military readiness. They devastate priorities like education and energy and medical research. They would certainly slow our recovery and cost us hundreds of thousands of jobs. And that's why Democrats, Republicans, business leaders, and economists have already said that these cuts, known here in Washington as the sequester, are a really bad idea.
Mr. President, I might add, it's your idea. You signed it into law. It's your responsibility ever much as it is Congress. But I have to say that this sequester that's coming up very shortly, at least it's a start. I don't like the way it hacks away at the military. I do not like the way it was written. But Congress made its bed, let it lie in the bed, and let Mr. President, who signed it into law, take full responsibility for the law. And I'm telling you this, it will make Congress smarter to figure out how to best to get the sequester working. But let it work. Let it come. Unless you can think of some genius way of cutting taxes to get this economy going so we could all enjoy good jobs. Not 23 million Americans looking for jobs. We need jobs, and your way of getting jobs is let the government hand them out. How can government pay for jobs without sucking money out of the private sector? But I'm going to take away from the good report that Senator Rand Paul said to really ridicule everything the President of the United States said in his State of the Union address. He summed it up so well. But first, we're going to go ahead and we'll hear from Marco Rubio in just a minute. Before we leave the president, let me ask you, last week's show, I played a clip from Jonathan Kahn at the inaugural prayer breakfast. You remember, did everybody see what happened on YouTube and Jonathan Kahn's inaugural prayer breakfast, but actually Ben Carson was at the national prayer breakfast, the speaker, and President Obama was next to him, where you could watch President Obama's face. And as the great pediatric neurosurgeon, Dr. Ben Carson, an African-American, that came, the wonderful story how he came out of poverty and rose up to be a national figure that's helped in so many ways. And he had a fantastic speech, and you can look it up on YouTube. I'll try to put that up, a link to it. But listen, President Barack Obama didn't crack a smile at his jokes. He looked like he wanted to be somewhere else. And Dr. Ben Carson basically just criticized all the policies of Obama. Not personally. He's just saying that he wasn't going to be politically correct, and he came to speak what was on his heart. And President Obama, it looked as if he wanted to be anywhere else but there, because he didn't praise President Obama. In fact, he criticized some of his policies. And he gave about a 30, 40-second solution to our whole health care problem, how to solve it. And it wasn't Obamacare. It wasn't the way President Obama wants to solve it. So if you didn't see Dr. Ben Carson, try to check him out. We'll see in the future if we can't get some clips and learn more about him. But I'm telling you, this president does not like anybody that challenges him, and he feels like he's above the law, evidently, because, as you know, one of the courts says his recess appointments were illegal, and it's going to go to the Supreme Court. But it's about time we stop letting the president run over the law. They always said President Nixon was not above the law. Why should Barack Obama be above the law? But let's continue on. Since last week was the State of the Union address, I do want to get a clip here from Marco Rubio. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to get to the solutions that Senator Rand Paul laid out better than anybody of the week of the State of the Union address. So you better listen up. We got some good stuff coming. And to kick us off right now, here is Senator Marco Rubio from Florida.
I'm Marco Rubio. I'm blessed to represent Florida in the United States Senate. Let me begin by congratulating President Obama on the start of his second term. Tonight, I have the honor of responding to a State of the Union address on behalf of my fellow Republicans. And I'm especially honored to be addressing our brave men and women serving in the armed forces and in diplomatic posts around the world. You may be thousands of miles away, but you are always in our prayers. The State of the Union address is always a reminder of how unique America is. See, for much of human history, most people were trapped in stagnant societies where a tiny minority always stayed on top, and no one else even had a chance. But America's exceptional because we believe that every life at every stage is precious, and that everyone everywhere has a God-given right to go as far as their talents and hard work will take them. Like most Americans, for me, this ideal is personal. My parents immigrated here in pursuit of the opportunity to improve their life, and to give their children the chance at an even better one. They made it to the middle class, my dad working as a bartender and my mother as a cashier and a maid. I didn't inherit any money from them, but I inherited something far better, the real opportunity to accomplish my dreams. This opportunity to make it to the middle class or beyond, no matter where you start out in life, it isn't bestowed on us from Washington. It comes from a vibrant free economy where people can risk their own money to open a business. And when they succeed, they hire more people who in turn invest or spend their money they make helping others start a business and create jobs. Presidents in both parties, from John F. Kennedy to Ronald Reagan, have known that our free enterprise economy is the source of our middle class prosperity. But President Obama, he believes it's the cause of our problems. That the economic downturn happened because our government didn't tax enough, spend enough, or control enough. And therefore, as you heard tonight, his solution to virtually every problem we face is for Washington to tax more, borrow more, and spend more. This idea that our problems were caused by a government that was too small, it's just not true. In fact, a major cause of our recent downturn was a housing crisis created by reckless government policies. And the idea that more taxes and more government spending is the best way to help hardworking middle-class taxpayers, that's an old idea that's failed every time it's been tried. More government isn't going to help you get ahead. It's going to hold you back.
That's right, Senator. Government's not going to get you ahead. It's going to hold you back. And thank you for somebody needs to get to the mainstream media. I know they won't ever say it, but that's what got us all in this mess. The government programs through our housing programs. I mean, it got us into the mess, and government's not the solution. As Ronald Reagan said, it's not the solution. It's the problem, and we got to figure that out. We need limited government. Yes, we got to have government. Yes, we need some regulation. Yes, there's things we need that government can do well, but there's not a lot of it, and we got way too much now. And I appreciate what Senator Marco Rubio said. I think he's really hitting the nail on the head. But I tell you what, Rand Paul's coming in with some solutions. He's got him a more than just a hammer. He got him a sledgehammer of truth. And we're going to listen to what Senator Rand Paul had to say in his State of the Union response for the Tea Party. Before we get to Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, let me just remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on www.webtalkradio.net. And once again, thank you to our new listeners. We're growing every week because of you. And put us on your favorites and listen to the show every week when you're watching or looking at your email, checking out different things. You can hear what's going on new in a week of politics right here. Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And I want to remind you, we're staying on the air. One of the reasons why our friends that you can see at Freedom Works, our friends that you can see that are helping us out, but also my book is Rock Splitting Politics. If you don't have a copy, order you a copy. Just you can go right there on the homepage of this radio show and click on my website and order a copy of my book. I got some other books out there, some conservative books where I got essays. So you can go right there, order that. That helps keep us on the air. We appreciate all our friends and some great information that you need to know to get you excited, enthusiastic. And after this election, some people were down in the doldrums, depressed. And, hey, I didn't want to see 4 more years of Barack Obama. But it's time to get out of the gutter, as out of the depression. It's time to run to the battle. Like David ran to Goliath. He didn't wait for Goliath to come. He ran to the battle. He was ready with his slingshot. And so that's what we need to be. We need to be ready. Run to the battle. And because there's nothing but our future at stake. Our children's future. Grandchildren. And we have got to take on the battle. We got to be faithful. And that's what we're going to do right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And we appreciate you listening. For our new listeners and all listeners, go back and listen to the archives. This one thing webtalkradio.net does so well, puts everything in archives so you can go back and listen to our past shows. And there's shows out there that have some great guests. And if you hadn't listened to them, go look at our archive section. Now, let me tell you, Here comes some Rand Paul responses. I wish we could play the whole speech, but we're going to play what we can, and we'll make a few comments, and I want you to listen to this. This is well worth listening to, and many of you did not hear the response because nobody would run it. Unless you went to the internet, you could not hear Senator Rand Paul and these great solutions and answers, and I just am so thankful for somebody to stand up and tell the truth and tell it like it is. Take it away, Senator Rand Paul. Now, are you ready? Here he is, Senator Rand Paul.
Good evening. I speak to you tonight from Washington, D.C. The state of our economy is tenuous, but our people remain the greatest example of freedom and prosperity the world has ever known. People say America is exceptional. I agree. But it's not the complexion of our skin or the twists in our DNA that make us unique. America is exceptional because we're founded upon the notion that anyone, in fact, everyone should be free to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. You know, for the first time in history, men and women were guaranteed in America a chance to succeed based not on who your parents were, but on your own initiative and your desire to work. We're in danger, though, of forgetting what made us great. The president seems to think the country can continue to borrow $50,000 every second. The president believes that if we can just squeeze more money out of those who are working, I don't think it'll work. The path we are on is not sustainable, but few in Congress or in this administration seem to recognize that their actions are endangering the prosperity of this great nation.
See, there he is, Rand Paul. He's not afraid to say, not just President Obama, but people in Washington of both parties. They don't realize what's at stake, or they don't care. And Senator Rand Paul was talking $50,000 a second being borrowed that we don't have, $50,000 every second. Okay, continue on, Senator.
Ronald Reagan said, "Government is not the answer to the problem. Government is the problem." Tonight, the president told the nation he disagrees. President Obama believes that government is the solution. More government, more taxes, more debt. What the president fails to grasp is that the American system that rewards hard work is what made America so prosperous. What America needs is not Robin Hood, but Adam Smith. In the year we won our independence, Adam Smith described what creates the wealth of nations. He described a limited government that largely did not interfere with individuals and their pursuit of happiness. All that we are, all that we wish to be is now threatened by the notion that you can have something for nothing, that you can have your cake and eat it too, that you can spend $1 trillion every year that you don't have. I was elected to the Senate in 2010 by people who were worried about their country, worried about their kids, and worried about their future. I thought I knew how bad it was until I got here. It's worse than I could have ever imagined. Congress is debating the wrong things. Every debate in Washington is about how much to increase spending, a little or a lot. How much to increase taxes, a little or a lot. The president does this big, oh, woe is me, over the $1.2 trillion sequester cuts in spending that he endorsed and he signed into law. Some Republicans are now joining him.
Thank you, Senator, for agreeing with what I mentioned earlier in the show, but continue on, Senator. You're on a good roll right now.
Few people understand that the sequester doesn't even cut any spending. It just slows the rate of growth. Even with the sequester, if it goes through, government will grow over $7 trillion over the next decade. Only in Washington could an increase in $7 trillion in spending over a decade be called a cut. So what is the president's answer? Over the past 4 years, he has added over $6 trillion in new debt and may well do the same in a second term. What solutions does he offer? He takes entitlement reform off the table and seeks to squeeze more money out of the private sector. He says he wants a balanced approach. What the country really needs is a balanced budget. Washington acts in a way that your family never could. They spend money they don't have. They borrow from future generations. And then they blame each other for never fixing the problem. Tonight I urge you to demand a new course. Demand Washington change their ways or be sent home.
Amen, Senator. I feel like you're preaching a sermon. Washington should change its ways, or if Congress change or be sent home. Send them home. Send them home if they cannot change. This should be the year of change, okay? If it's not, 2014 should clear house, clear the Senate, and let's get people in who understand responsibility and what we need for the future of this country. Continue on, Senator.
To begin with, we absolutely must pass a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution. The amendment must include strict tax and spending limitations. Liberals complain that the budget can't be balanced, but if you cut just one penny from each dollar we currently spend, the budget would balance within 6 or 7 years. The penny plan has been crafted into a bill that millions of conservatives across the country support. It is often said there's not enough bipartisanship up here. That's not true. In fact, there's plenty of bipartisanship. Both parties have been guilty of spending too much, of protecting their sacred cows, of backroom deals in which everyone up here wins, but every taxpayer loses.
You're right, Senator. I'm tired of being on the losing end. I'm a taxpayer, and I feel like I'm losing every game, every year. And it's time we put a team together that can come out and win a game in Washington. What do we need to do? Senator Rand Paul gave us the answer. What we need to do to win the ball game in Washington for the taxpayers. Let him say this, and then we'll move on with Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award. Let's hear this last word from Senator Rand Paul on what we need to do to win a ball game in Washington for the taxpayer.
And if Congress refuses to obey its own rules, if Congress refuses to pass a budget, if Congress refuses to read the bills, then I say, sweep the place clean, limit their terms, and send them home.
Wow, Senator Rand Paul, if you did not hear the whole speech of his response to the State of the Union address by our president, you need to, for yourself, you deserve to hear the entire speech. And so please look it up on the internet, and I'll try to get a link to it. And listen, I'm not saying Rand Paul's the next president of the United States. I don't know if he'll run. I don't know if it's Marco Rubio. I don't know if it's someone that has not even emerged. But I know this. There's currents in the stream, and the stream is getting stronger and stronger because of you and me and us putting together a coalition of people who know this country is going in the wrong direction, and we're going to do what it takes to get it turned around. So thank you for listening, and this time for this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. And it goes this week to none other than a senator, a Democratic senator from the state of New Jersey, Senator Menendez. Senator Menendez has some allegations against him, and I'm not going to say he needs to be removed because of allegations. What I don't like is the fact that he knew he should report that he flew into with a plane on a doctor, one of his biggest campaign contributors, and he did not report it. All of a sudden, he got caught red-handed, and the ethics committee is researching what the problems are, and all of a sudden, he pays $60,000 for a trip down to the Dominican Republic back a couple years ago, And he wasn't going to say a word. He didn't want anybody to know. And he thought he could just sweep it under the rug. And evidently he would have if some of these allegations had not come up. And I won't mention the allegations, but you can check them out there. They're not good allegations. Not good for Senator Menendez. But I'm telling you, if this thing keeps up, then we may have Governor Chris Christie being able to appoint a Republican to the seat. And this has nothing to do with Republican Democrat. The Tombstone of the Week Award is given to Senator Menendez from New Jersey because he's supposed to be a leader. He knows the rules. And if he doesn't know the rules, he can go to the Ethics Committee and say, look, what are the rules? But he flew on a plane with one of his biggest contributors, did not report it until he got caught, and somebody said, didn't you fly? And now he said that's the only time he flew, and there's people saying, no, I saw you down there at a golf tournament in 09 or 08. And so we don't know if he's telling the truth. If he's not telling the truth, and some of these allegations start looking more and more like he's quacking like a duck. I don't. Maybe one day he'll sing like a bird. I don't know. But I do know this. He gets this week's Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award for what he did do for sure is he did not let the people know that his biggest campaign contributor was flying him in for some parties and rounds of golf in the Dominican Republic. He did not report it. And everyone knows, if you're a senator or a congressman, what the ethics standards are. He failed his constituents. He's a United States senator. He failed America. And that's why he got this week's Tombstone of the Week Award by Doc Holliday. We've come to the end of the show, and I'm so glad that we got new listeners listening. I would love to cover so much more. When you have to pick out news for the week, and it's so important for the State of the Union address, the responses, and how this president, I've said it earlier in the show, he is just, why would anybody pay for a campaign writer, a speech maker for President Obama? It's the same thing we've heard 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And people keep thinking, it reminds me of Charlie Brown in the scenario at Halloween when he and talk Linus into going out and camping out and sleeping in the pumpkin patch to wait for the great pumpkin who never showed up, the great pumpkin. When are people going to realize this president is talking baloney? I mean, you and I know it, but when are the people who are so enamored by this president going to stop and say, am I better off? You know, stop blaming other people and look at the guy who's in the charge at the White House. And why is this economy sinking like it did last quarter? It didn't go up. The economy sank. It went down. It did not grow. It stumbled. And people wonder why. Well, look who's in the White House. Look who's in the White House. Look who's been talking about jobs for 5 years now, and we don't have jobs because it's not on his priority list. It's on his priority speaking list. And he's been speaking and speaking, and I'm tired of hearing his words. I didn't even want to hear his speech, but I did it because of you, and I wanted to make sure my listeners got the full brunt of why Doc Holliday's on the air. It's because we have got to have change in Washington. I was glad to hear Senator Rand Paul. I hope you'll go listen to his whole speech. I was glad to hear Senator Marco Rubio. We see things happening. Good things are going to happen. I can't tell you when, but that's why I'm going to D.C. at the end of this week, and I'm going there to help see what we can do to get the grassroots movement motivated again and get an upswing for the future of America. We can do it. I'm not giving up. I'm working harder, and I encourage you to do also. And we'll have another show next week right here, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And we're going to jump right into some things and items that you need to know about. And thank you for listening.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.